Well, we have some great news for you. You really can turn your losses into victories, but you have to, take a new look at it. And you know, God doesn't judge your future by your past. And sometimes
praise
we just
God.
Need to get up and move on, even though the loss has been absolutely horrendous. But you know, God has better things in the future for us than any day in the past if we get hooked up to His wonderful principles of Scripture. And we're going to share some of those with you today. But I'd like to pray right now, and I want to tell you right up front that Barb and I have room in our hearts for you. And I'll tell you, maybe we can help you carry that burden that just about got you down because your loss has been so great. Father God, we thank you that today we don't always know what the losses are of our friends and our listeners. We don't know that. We don't know if it's been a loss of a person to death or by accident or by war. We don't know those things. But Lord, you do. And Lord, today we're just making room in our hearts for our friends and for their grief and sorrow and especially for their loss. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. As we go to the scripture, we see people that have risen victorious over great losses. In Jesus' powerful name, amen.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Darren, it's so important to know that God sees loss in a much different way than we do. He sees loss as an opportunity to train ourselves, to get rid of the flesh, to become strong and resilient against the enemy. Our losses build character, and God sees things. Well, for instance, let's look at a song written by Bill Gaither, and it says, one of the lines it says in that song, I lost it all to find everything, and that's the name of the song, is it's in losing you win. And it takes me back to that scripture in John that says, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But when it dies, when it's broken open, like Jesus was on the cross, then it produces a great harvest. And Darren, each and every one of us who believe in Jesus Christ have to go through loss. It's part of the training of a Christian. It really, truly is.
You know, I was in a farm home one time, and I was talking to the parents, and they took me down the hall, and they opened the door, and here was a room. And there was a picture of a young man in a service uniform. Mm. They had lost that young man over 40 years previous.
Oh, my
goodness.
They
had never changed anything in his room.
Oh.
And I think they thought they were maintaining his memory and the loss there in that way. And, Barb, I just have to tell you, I believe there's something wrong with that. I think at some point we have to close the door on loss. We have to say, I'm not going to camp out on this loss and make that a part of my identity. I'm going to get up and go on no matter how bad it was. And sometimes we nourish the flashbacks and we go over and over and over and over those losses. And there have been some psychological studies done, particularly in the area of fear, that say when you re-experience that through a flashback, it has almost the same brain function, as when you went through it originally, the original loss. Well, I wouldn't relive those times. I think we have to give that to the Lord. And I've gone through great loss in my life, and there have been times when I had to say to the Lord, would you fill up the hole that's left because of this great loss? And you know, he's done that for me, and I was able then, because of that, to go on and to be a healthy human being that could think straight and see straight and all this kind of stuff. But some of the people we're talking to today really can't see straight. Their level is just off. It's off.
That's right. And the most important thing that they're thinking about, generally, across the board, Darren, is the financial loss. Look how many thousands of dollars I lost. Stock market, bad investment, MLM, we've all gone through those losses. And the first thing the enemy tries to show you is what a terrible person you are because you lost so many thousands of dollars. God doesn't see it that way, Darren, because he's a God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He's got abundance above abundance. He can create new abundance if we just turn to him and say, Father God, forgive me for being so foolish in this investment or whatever you were foolish in. Forgive my sin and give me wisdom and understanding for the next thing that comes along so I can discern whether to say yes or no to that next thing.
Well, and sometimes we have people around us that remind us of those losses.
I know. People are very, yes.
And, we'd have the money to spend today, Dad, except, in fact, I remember one time I was going down Interstate 80. We were headed to the Northwest and had the three kids in the back seat, and I went through a speed trap just above Evanston, Wyoming.
Oh.
And I, along with a whole bunch of other people, and we were coasting downhill and feeling good about ourselves. Well, pretty soon here came the flashing lights, and I pulled over. And they gave me a ticket, and they said, now you go to the courthouse in Evanston, which is right down the road, and pay your ticket. So I went down there and went in, gave them the speeding ticket, and I think it was $30 or $40. But, you know, all the way to Seattle, my kids remind, well, you know, Dad, we won't have enough as much money to spend because you were speeding.
Mm-hmm. You were speeding. Well, and $30 and $40 in those days.
Well, it was a lot of money.
Yeah, that was. And that was quite a bit of money.
And, you know, your kids, you know, they like to remind you of those things. And sometimes we remind each other as adults. We say, man, if it hadn't been that lousy, boy, I could sure use that money today.
Yes.
Now, how far would that money go? You know, and mm-hmm. we've missed so many opportunities where if we'd have just had that money, and we wallow around in that old loss
so
and that old memory. You know, sometimes we just need to have a funeral for that thing. I mean, if you have
you
to
know
go
something, that is a good idea.
Sure, it's a good
just
idea.
Have a funeral and say, okay, we've buried this thing.
You know, I have counseled some people over the years, and they had some of these grievous losses, and I had them write it down on a piece of paper. And I said, now, we're going to bury this at sea. I said, mm-hmm. what do you mean? I'd say, okay, I want you to either set fire to this thing, and sometimes I'd give them a match, and I'd say, now you take it in the bathroom and you burn it and you flush it down the toilet. We want you to have some point of departure from that old loss. Now you say, well, Darren, you're trying to be funny and somebody's grieving their heart out and all this kind of stuff and they had such horrendous loss. No, I'm not, but I'm going to tell you this. At some point we have to say, okay, that was then, this is now, and I'm going to move on. And I'm not going to stay there and wallow around. I'm not going to camp out there and make this just a part of my whole identity. My whole life is just messed up because. And I have seen people, Barbara, that were in their later years, and they'd have some business failure in the past. And let me tell you, if you tried any business, you probably had a business failure someplace. In fact, some of our most successful people in the country will tell you, you know, they went bankrupt once, twice, three times before they finally made it work. Well, I'm not recommending that you do that, but if you've been through a bankruptcy, or you've been through a great financial loss, or you made a bad investment, or something absolutely beyond your control went south, as they say, and you lost a bunch of money, and you lost a bunch of time, and you lost a bunch of opportunities, don't allow that to stop you. You've got God on your side.
Absolutely.
He wants to help you go on into your future, and He's not judging you by your past mistake. If you made a horrendous mistake, ask God to forgive you and get up and go on. Suck it up, as they say.
Yes, you know, after my first husband, John, died, I thought I was going to live in Greeley, Colorado all my life, Darren, and stay in the house that we had purchased and just live my life out in that town. And you came along, and in 2 years, I was packing everything, selling the house, and moving to Denver. Now, I had a lot of memories in that home. We had remodeled almost everything. I had painted every inch of that house or wallpapered or done something to it. It had a lot of sentimental value to me. And you had to kind of drag me down to Denver. But looking back after so many years that we've been in Denver now, I am so grateful to you that you took me out of that situation where I would just be kind of lost in a pit of sorts of nostalgia and sentiment, living out my old life when God had provided such a great life for me. I don't know if I would have ever seen that.
You know, I remember one thing I told you, and I believe it with all my heart, and some of you need to take this really, really to heart. I told you that our future is better than any bright day in the past.
Yes. You did.
And I said, Barbara, you got a dream. And I said, I'm not going to let anything or anybody steal my dream. I'm going to pursue. I'm going to keep going. Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, that's great counsel, because if we start looking for the good will come to us.
Yes.
But if we wallow around in the loss, and loss means you're deprived, there's deprivation, you will identify yourself with loss and you'll attract more loss.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go to the poor parts of the country, or you go to some of the poor families that you might know, and you'll find out that's the way they live. That's their modus operandi, and it's horrible.
Well, I looked up the word loss and lose, and lose is L-O-S-E. And in the Greek, it means to suffer loss, to experience detriment. But another meaning, Darren, is I looked it up in the Strong's Concordance, and in the Greek, it's number 1150, and it means to tame. And I asked the Lord, I said, what does this mean, Lord, to tame? And he says, in loss, we tame that flesh, the loss isn't in our spirit, because I'm always with you. I will always provide for you. You know that you've got an anchor that keeps your soul steadfast and sure. Remember that old